was below. I gave you an example. Are you ready? He said, like a nephew to his uncle, like a servant to his master, or the sheep to the shepherd. Now, if you said this word son in English means the servant of a master, Abdullah, would we say that about Jesus? You betcha we would. So we don't have an argument, do we? So if they got the wrong concept, that's their problem. But really, that's not our problem. And we don't want to get into that. So that's why we said there's three things we believe about Jesus. The miracle birth, which the Jews did not accept. His ascension, which the Jews didn't know happened. They thought they killed him. And then his return to earth in the last days, which we know from the Hadith, the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From this, we're able to really diffuse a lot of things. And I've heard in this conversation with Christians so many times that they said, gee, I didn't know that. Gee, I didn't have an idea about this. I didn't know you guys believed in Jesus. So when they hear that, they're like, ah. And they're saying what I told you. At the end, we're going to come back and ask them about this. When they think about the fact that they do make a lot of jokes about Jesus, and they use his name in cursing, they should be ashamed of themselves, because we don't do that. And by the way, we don't make jokes about the Quran. They make jokes about the Bible. I've heard many of them. Also, we don't make jokes about the Bible either. We have respect for the Quran. We never take it in the bathroom. The Bible, if you have a Bible, you wouldn't keep it in the bathroom, would you? That's not. It's disrespectful to the word of Allah. If they say, well, wait a minute, the Bible says, you say, hold on, you asked me about Jesus. This is another question. This is a separate issue. If you want to talk about Jesus, this is one subject. If you want to talk about the Bible, then at another setting we can sit and talk about the Bible. Because actually, we believe in the original Bible. If we have time, we can discuss that too. And what do we believe about the Bible? Our book tells us in the very beginning of it, when it begins, right after the seven-verse prayer, which is Alhamd, after Fatiha, it starts out, Alif Lam Mim. A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. Zalika Kitabu La Rayba Fih. It says this is the book that has no doubt in it. La Rayba Fih. A source of hidayah, Udil al-Muttaqin. A source of guidance for the people who have taqwa or piousness. It continues, and at one part it says they believe in what's being sent down to you, ilayka, O Muhammad, wa, and min qabli, what was sent down to those before. So we have to believe in the Quran, and we have to believe in the Bible. It starts out our book telling us that. But what was sent down no longer exists. Does it make sense? It's simple as that. It doesn't exist anymore. But if it did, we would believe it. We'd be the first to believe it. We have the Quran, which verifies there was a Bible and contains some of the things that the Bible had in it. So no problem. Why would you argue with the person who's the closest to you in belief on earth? When in fact the Jews don't accept anything of the New Testament, they don't accept the miracle birth of Jesus, they don't accept any ascension, they don't accept that he's coming back in the last day. Is that true? So they don't believe anything at all, and yet you guys are so in love with them that you want to go die for them. Here on the other hand, we're saying that everything you're saying, we don't have a cross, but you also don't have an original book that says that either, do you? Okay. So understanding that, and we're not going to get into that, that's not our argument. We are the closest to you in belief. And probably you've got people in your own church that argue with you about some points. So why bother? Let's look at what we have together and build on that. And so many times they say, you're right, you are right, you are right. I didn't know that, I didn't know that. So now it comes to what? Let's consider this. Did you ever see anywhere that Jesus told you to pray to Him, or did He tell you to pray to God? Did He say for you to pray to Him or pray to God? And if they say, no, He said He was going to pray to Him. If they say that, just walk away and leave, okay? Because they're way out here. Tell them you don't have time right now, you can get back to them. Let them sit on that for a while, because actually the Bible is very clear. He has two places in the New Testament where it clearly states that He ordered them to pray to the Father, which means the Almighty God. He didn't tell them to pray to Him. He said pray to God. And in the prayer, it even says in the prayer, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not Jesus' will on earth. Okay? God's will on earth as it is in heaven. So, He's praying like this, so why shouldn't you? And He said He prays to His God and your God, and His God, His Lord and your Lord. And this is the same phrases that we find from the Quran, and that's who we're supposed to pray to, is the God of Muhammad, the Lord of Muhammad, the God of Jesus, the Lord of Jesus, and we pray to the one who they prayed to. There's no argument on this point. So you pray to your God, I'll pray to my God, and we'll ask for guidance, and we'll see who gets guidance first. Is that fair? That's all I'm asking you. You ask me a big question, I give you an answer. I'm just asking you, pray to God and ask Him to guide you. Is that fair? So if you want to do it in Arabic, say this, Ihdina Sirata Mustaqim, O God, guide me to the straight path. And know that this language, Arabic, is something Jesus would understand if He was here right now. Just say it, Ihdina Sirata Mustaqim. If you really mean it, you'll be all right. You don't know how many times I said that phrase to people. You have no idea how many times I put that in email. I said it to people in speeches. I talked to them face to face. And they went off. I didn't see them again. And then all of a sudden, I'd hear from them later. And they'd say, you know what? I did what you said. I went off and I prayed. And all of a sudden, I realized I need this line. They make sure how to through email, through the internet, through telephone, through, you know, personal contacts, many times over this subject. Why do you think I use it, by the way? Well, obviously, it's the first thing mentioned in Quran that really is a request. When you're reading Quran, you're not asking for anything until you reach the ayah that says, Ihdina Sirata Mustaqim. You're not. Because if you go back and look at it, look at it again. Here you're reading this thing 17 times a day, but you never caught this, right? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all the praises to the Lord of the worlds. Ar Rahmanir Rahim, most gracious, most merciful. Maliki Yawmiddin, the king or the ruler on the day of judgment. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. You only do we worship, and you only do we turn to for guidance. You're only talking about Allah up to now. Here comes your first request. And it's not just a request, it's an order. Because you're giving it in the imperative form. Like, Iqra is imperative. You recite. And you're saying, Ihdina, you guide. Ihdina, guide us. Ihdina, Sirata Mustaqim, guide us to the straight path. That's your first and only request in that surah. You know that? Because then you only elaborate on it. Ihdina, Sirata Mustaqim. And then you describe the surat. All you're doing is describing it. Surat al-Ladin and Amta alayhim, the path of those who have your favor. I want to be with the ones that Allah favors, right? Okay? Surat al-Ladin and Amta alayhim, and then, Khayrul Mahdubi alayhim, not the path of those that have your ghadab, your anger, waladdalala, waladdalin, and not those that are lost, have gone astray. Isn't that what we read every day? The only thing you're asking for is guidance, so I figured, hey, that's where I need to start. So when the person was bringing me to Islam, and I didn't even know I was coming to Islam, by the way, one thing he told me about was just pray for guidance. I mean, I was good. You don't think I can argue good? Oh man, I can argue good. I used to be really good at that. And I give him a hard time. We do like, I want to do debates with him. Worst thing you can do, by the way, don't debate. Debate in Islam is only permissible under certain conditions. Okay? And I haven't seen a debate yet in the English language that was meeting those conditions. If you didn't understand what I just said, I'll say it real clear. If you know any videotapes that are debates about Islam and Christianity, burn them now. If you don't, then it's between you and Allah. I warn you. Those have done more damage than good. They have done more damage than good. And we're not out here to become famous for debating people about their religion. We're out here to share the true message of Islam. I watched some of your faces, and I know that you're looking at me like, uh-uh, you don't mean the one that I have between and S, I mean that one. What did I say? Burn it. Don't show it again, and don't copy it again. You want the proof? Want the clear proof? Okay. Show me how many people made shahada that day. And I've met several people in the last 12 years that were there in Louisiana when they made that program, and it was MSA that put it on. Several people were there, eyewitnesses, and I asked one, he got mad at me when I was saying it. He, in a program like this recently, he said, I was there. I said, okay, just wait till I get done, okay? And then I asked him, you were there? Yes. And I said, and he said, it was a good debate. This happened, that happened. I said, no, that's not my point. I saw it many times. You don't know. I'm asking you this question. How many people took shahada afterwards? Well, no. I said, this is my point. He said, well, that's from Allah. Yes, it is. That's true. But my point here is, when the people left, were the Christians and the Muslims walking over and shaking hands and saying, I really like you. You're very nice. Or were they going, see, our guy put your guy in the toilet. But I didn't know I was just like you until one day in 1996, I was in one of the prisons. I went to the copy machine and I opened it up to make some copies of the prayer schedule. And when I looked down, there was a piece of paper already in there. Happens all the time because they make a lot in police stations and in prisons and so on. They make a lot of copies of stuff all the time. I pulled it out to go see whose desk to go put it on. And I looked at it, and the first thing that got my eye, it was an order blank for ordering videotapes. I said, videotapes? And I looked down, and it said, so-and-so debating so-and-so. Well, I don't need to give any free advertising to it, because if you don't know what it is, good. But if you do, it was that tape. Only they put the name of the Christian first. Then the next one said, Anish Sharush and so-and-so. And the next one was so-and-so and so-and-so. And I know these people. I know them. And I know what this was about. And I'm looking at it and I'm saying, when did I leave that order blank here in this copy machine? I don't remember leaving the order blank in this copy machine. How could I have? Because I haven't been here for 3 days, and they use the machine every 6 minutes. Somebody else here is making a copy of my... Wait a minute, hold on. This is not mine. These are $25 a piece. Wait a minute, what's this? Come to Jesus, what's that? I don't know any tape like that. And here's another one for the Trinity Ministry. And I went, oh. Because there's an organization inside the building called Trinity Ministry. I went over to them, to one of their guys sitting there at the desk, you know. And I said, is this yours? And he grinned and he took it away from me like, yeah, so what? And I was thinking, that's cool, man. These guys are doing dawah for us. That's wonderful, you know. Here we are. We're one big happy family. I didn't realize how close. I thought these guys didn't like me. They always throw my Qurans away when I'm not here. But, you know, maybe they're just taking them home and reading. All of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute, hold it. On the way home, I kept thinking about this. So I went and got the tape out, stuck it in the machine, and I began to watch it. And I told my wife, I'm going to write down every single word. I got out of one of those yellow legal tablets, and I wrote it word by word. Stop the tape, back it up, until I wrote every word from before the introduction to the very end of question and answers, the whole thing, filled up that legal tablet. Then I sat there and I studied it, and I prayed about it. I asked Allah, show me why the Christians would like this so much and still hate Islam. Then it dawned on me, they weren't listening to our guy, and we weren't listening to their guy. All we were doing is listening to what we wanted to hear and hating the other side more and more and more. And Shaitan loves that. That's perfect. Let's make them hate each other. Then they will fight. Then Shaitan will get what he wants. But Shaitan has one goal only. He wants to see every single human being in hell. Is that his goal, yes or no? Do we know that? Is that what Allah told us? If you understand that, you understand the whole thing. Anything Shaitan likes, you need to know you don't like it. Got me? Now, after a little bit of research, I came to find out that after that particular debate was done, the Christian person, he's not a scholar, he even started out in the tape saying he was not a scholar of the Bible. His topic was, is the Bible the Word of God? If you're not a scholar of it, what the heck are you doing talking about it? Right after that, he was flown to a particular country that has a big white flag with two light blue bars on it and a big star in the middle of it, and they gave him a 747 jet. That's how he got that jet. I was still Christian at the time and couldn't figure out why he got that jet. Why would these people who don't follow his religion give him this nice plane? Now we know. Understand that most Christians are really good guys, all in all. They don't follow their religion very good, but then I can't say we do either. But there is a group of them, I call them the caustic Christians, because they're like acid or caustic when they get on something, they eat it up. And they hate everybody. They hate the Catholics. They hate the Masons. They hate us. They hate the bad. They hate everybody if it's not with their group. Okay? Those people work in league with other people that have a lot of hatred going on. And those are the kind of people that spread more hate. So if you understand what I just said, what are you going to do with those tapes? Yeah. And we will give you free ones to replace them about how to do real dawah. Okay. We have one of our best tapes called 135 People Make Shahada. And this was at a conference like this, and we talked for about a week. We got people interested to do dawah in their community. They had never done dawah. Their masjid was built in 1964, never gave a single shahada in that masjid. Their imam argued with me, not with me because he didn't speak English, but on the first night I gave the initial talk on why we have to do dawah, that it is a part of our deen, we have to do it. When I was done, in Arabic, he told his community that I was wrong. I didn't know what I was talking about. He said, dawah is only to the Muslims. Okay? That's all right. He didn't know I knew what he was talking about. So, we did 5 television shows, 2 radio shows, some programs in the masjid, and when it came our last day, which was Sunday there, they turned out in big numbers. Filled up a place similar to what we got here, maybe no more than this. Okay, we did our program, we recorded it, like you're doing right now. At the end of it, and the imam is sitting on the table with me, near me. Okay, he watched, and it's on camera. You can see his face when 135 people stood up at the same time and made shots. So I turned to him, stood up, walked over, kissed him on top of the head, and walked out the door. On the tape. Just I'm letting you know, think about it. Allah is the one who guides, and that's true. But you have to ask yourself a question, isn't it also Allah who makes fruit grow from a tree? Isn't it Allah who makes the tree grow? But yet you're the one who plants it. Don't you plant the seeds? If you said, oh, well, there's seeds over here. We have tomato seeds. We have lettuce seeds. We have, you know, all kinds of seeds. And you said, well, Okay, you see where you're going to plant them? No, it's Allah that makes stuff grow, not me. But don't you go put them in the ground? No, it's up to Allah. If He wants it to work, it'll work. And after you put it in the ground, don't you take care of it? Don't you water it? Don't you keep the weeds away from it? Nah, it's up to Allah to take care of it. Is that how you do it? Huh? Well, after you do it, you still haven't caught what I said. I got one final thing before I wrap this one up. You got a job? A rizq min Allah, right? So why don't you just stay home and see if they'll mail you your check? Huh? Huh? Get off your butt and go to work. Is that clear enough? Because sometimes I feel like maybe if you get the picture, I'll clean it up and make it real clear for you. I'm doing that. So that's the message to me too, because I sit around talk too much. So it's time to go to work. The dawah, we said, is obligatory. It is a part of our deen. We have to call the people to what we do, otherwise we're not believers. That's the meaning of the ayah. What people need to be left. Okay? Call others to it. And if you have a doubt, there was a hadith that I left out, by the way, and I should have mentioned it the other night. Can't go back and put it back together now, but I'm going to say it anyway. The Prophet ﷺ told us about a people before us that were so bad, they were so corrupt, they were so awful, that Allah was going to send the angels to destroy them. With a horrible destroying. Horrible. So He commanded the angels to go and destroy these people. But the angel came back and he said, hold on. There's one we found in a temple. He's worshiping you day and night. Never leaves. He's worshiping you day and night. And Allah said, begin with him. Begin with him. Why? Because Allah's not going to accept that worship. No way. You just stand there and pray, you think that's all you got to do? There's people out there dying without the kalima, la ilaha illallah. And you know it, and you won't share it, and you won't tell the people? Who are you? So this is a big subject. I'm reminding myself and all of us that the who, what, when, where, how is really one big package. So every one of these little pieces that I do is going to be related to the other. So may Allah guide us, may Allah help us to understand how to do the dawah, ameen. And may Allah guide the people. And may Allah let us be there when they make shahada so we can take some of the reward. As the Prophet ﷺ told us, that if somebody comes to Islam by your hand, it is better for you, khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha, better for you than everything in the dunya. And in another riwayah, he said, Humrinam, better for you than red camel. And that was something very prized and very sought after at the time of Rasul from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, so we'll wrap it up with that. You've been listening to Islam tomorrow, and we'll be back after some brief interlude with our last and final part of the program. This is your host, Mr. Best, just reminding you that you can visit us on the internet at www.islamtomorrow.com.
Selim Morgan is at the website. I wish you were here. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, by the way, let everybody out there hear you there. I'll say, Assalamu alaikum, I want to hear you say it real loud. Assalamu alaikum. Oh, come on. The kids did better than that today. You sure brought the kids back. Assalamu alaikum. This is California. I was expecting earthquakes. I don't know. Assalamu alaikum.